This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
I just commented what a great weekend it was for North Carolina college football. You can't say that very often.
No.
You just can't say it. All four ACC games featuring North Carolina schools basically played in the noon window. Same to you, ESPN. So I couldn't watch a lot of it. I did watch Duke. They were impressive. At least until late. Wake Forest was as advertised. Let's try to handle both of those with one human being, Connor O'Neill, who covers the Blue Devils and the Demon Deacons for SI. It's illustrated. It's Deacons Illustrated or Deacons Illustrated and Devils Illustrated. I get it all mixed up, Connor. How you doing, man?
I'm good. I'm trying to figure out if the apocalypse is coming with the rain that I just went through while the sun was shining. But other than that, if the apocalypse isn't going to hit, then I'm good.
Just trying to keep you guessing, man. All right, let's get to the Blue Devils real quick, and then we'll get to the return of Sam Hartman. I thought, obviously, Duke got off to a fast start. It's 21-0 early. First three possessions, all three touchdowns. What did we learn, though, about them after the game started going the other way when Northwestern started to get Hull going out of the backfield and they couldn't stop the tight end? What did we learn about them that maybe gives us some glimpse into the future?
You know, I think the main takeaway I had was you really learned how quickly Mike Elko has established a culture at Duke. I went back and looked at his introduction speech from back in December, and he laid out his acronym, which would be GRIND. And, you know, the G is for grit, the R is for relentless effort, the I is for integrity, the N is for now, and the D is for, oh gosh, I'm going to blank on the D. But
defense.
That was good for about the first 75 minutes of their season. They're really good. But, you know, they're building. It is two games into a rebuilding effort. I think with all that, the relentless effort, the integrity, the now, you know, it's always a common refrain when a new coach comes in. Oh, that's a game we would have lost last season or 2 years ago. And, you know, the staff knows where they're coming from, but they're not going to get swept up in that. And they're not going to let the players get swept up in it. And so I think that's where you can really see it shine when, you know, Evan Hull is racing toward the goal line and all of a sudden you pop the ball out and recover it in the end zone to seal the win.
Connor O'Neill joining us here. Deacons Illustrated, Devils Illustrated. He was busy at noon. I don't know how you did it. So, look, I don't want to make too much out of it. Northwestern did beat Nebraska, who's now 0-2 and coachless. So that was Northwestern's win, and even that was sort of not a gift. You still had to come back and do it. But Nebraska definitely contributed to that win in Ireland. Real quick takeaway on the quarterback and the new, not a go-to wide receiver, but a very important one in Jordan Moore.
I mean, if this is what Jordan Moore looks like after 3 or 4 weeks of playing receiver, essentially, and he's able to make that catch in the back of the end zone to kind of take a key decision away from Mike Elko, you know, whether he was going to have to go for a 4th and goal from the 8 or kick a field goal with a kicker who's 3 for 7 this year. Or now 4 for 7, I think. But
yeah,
that's a heck of a play for a quarterback to make. You know, and it's a catch on Sunday, too. If I'm not mistaken, he got both feet down.
Yep.
Right there in the back of the end zone. That, I mean, there's a clear-cut reason, and we've already seen why in two games, that Duke said, okay, well, if Riley Leonard is going to be our quarterback, we're not just going to have Jordan Moore stand on the sideline with a clipboard and have some, you know, token packages where he goes in and plays wildcat quarterback. He's going to be a contributor. We need to get him the ball in space. And they've done a pretty good job of that through two games.
I don't think there's any question about it. All right, let's get to Wake Forest win at Vanderbilt. I know it's just Vanderbilt, but Wake was on the road as a 2-touchdown favorite and get Sam Hartman back, and he looked like Sam Hartman was never gone. Is that fair?
Yeah. I wrote how, you know, you the only thing you can dislike about Sam's performance, you know, he completes 67% of his passes and even 300 yards, 4 touchdowns, was turnover free on a day that really lent itself to turnover plays with how sloppy the weather was.
Right.
And that's everything you would have wanted. The only thing to dislike is how many hits Sam took. And he took some ones that, you know, were probably, okay, Sam, we know you're excited to be back, but maybe next time just go down before 3 guys hit you in the open field. But that also, like, that's who Sam is.
Right.
That he's a fifth-year guy who loves contact, and if you put him on the field and you're calling plays, he's going to go out there and do what he can to win you the game. Even when you're up 3 scores and you've got an inside run called, he's going to go try to block a rover, which he did, which with Sprang Quinton Cooley for Wake's last touchdown of the game. So, yeah, it's kind of, you can eliminate the fears of him being rusty. He hit A.T. Perry early with that 68-yard touchdown, and it was just kind of like, okay, there's Sam, we're good.
A.T. Perry's good. How does Wake keep doing this? How does Wake keep just digging out stud wide receivers, it seems, every year?
Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We're talking retirement and coach. I'm a simple guy, but I like colors. Tell me how I can color code money and get ready for retirement.
I like colors too. I like pictures. Colors. I like graphs. I don't like just a bunch of words. And so what we try to do is we try to break down all those words on your statement, all those numbers into 3 colors, red, green, yellow. People are amazed when they come in, and most of their money is in the red category.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Now, red means high horsepower potential. It also means high loss potential. So you have to, it's a give and take. You can be willing to do that or that. Yellow means liquid money. You can get it any time. It's not going to earn anything. Green gives you safe growth, but also gives you lifetime income. As we get closer to retirement, we need some green accounts. We need the green zone, we call it. In Baghdad, green zone was important. Green zone's important for you, too. The next 10 people, Adam, it's a $1,000 value. Golden ticket we're going to put together for you, your very own total plan that has a green zone.
It's a traffic light. I hope it's green for you. 800-661-7383 or text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter.
I'm telling you, the backgrounds of them is kind of what fascinates me, because you go back and, like, Scotty Washington was their go-to guy for a few years. He came from an option offense, like, where he was getting maybe 15 to 20 targets a season out of Washington, D.C. You get Sage Surratt. He's the North Carolina Player of the Year for football and basketball, but he kind of flies under the radar, and you turn him into an all-ACC receiver. You get Greg Dortch out of Richmond. He's a 2-star guy because everybody thinks he's too small. You turn him into a pro. You get Alex Bachman, who had something like 12 catches for his entire high school career out of California, and you turn him into a burgeoning pro. So the development they do with their wide receivers, like Kevin Higgins gets a lot of credit, and he still does not get enough credit as their wide receivers coach, because they're getting these guys. With the exception of now, like Wesley Grimes, who they brought in as a 4-star from the Raleigh area, they've brought in a bunch of guys that are kind of overlooked and maybe a little undersized, and they turn them into these stars. Now that they're getting the guys that actually look like the studs coming in, that kind of makes you really, really wonder how high they can go with their wide receiver development.
It's just incredible. There's just danger everywhere for the Demon Deacons. All right, real quick before we say goodbye. Liberty is this week. I'm not saying Liberty is going to be easy, because Liberty has had a lot of NFL prospects over the years. But we're 2 weeks away from the real first exam for the Demon Deacons in Clemson. What are your thoughts looking ahead, further ahead to that?
Yeah, I think that's the one that it comes down to. I mean, I'm not on the team. I get to talk about that game. Everybody associated with Wake is going to tell you they just want to go 1-0 this week. But that's the test. they played Clemson last year, and they had a lot more offensive success than they've had against Clemson in years past, and they still lost by 3 touchdowns because they couldn't stop the run in the second half and because they turned the ball over it at really bad spots and really bad times. The challenge against Clemson is always going to be, can you handle their front, at least for Wake's offense? It's going to be, can you handle their front? And they're going to put NFL defensive tackles and defensive ends up there against your, you know, Wake. It's not like Wake has tiny offensive linemen, but they don't have offensive linemen. They're 330, 340 pounds. They have to be able to hold up against guys like Brian Breesy. And in past years, in the slow mesh works against 80 to 90% of the teams Wake plays, it typically doesn't work against Clemson because the mesh point gets blown up when you've got guys pushing your offensive linemen back into the quarterback and running back.
Yep. It's that's what it's going to be. Can Wake block Clemson? I think it comes down basically to that, because I don't think Clemson's going to score a ton of points. I really don't. Unless, of course, Dabo Swinney decides the time is right to flip quarterbacks, because I think they're a completely different offense with the freshman. Connor O'Neill, Deacon's Illustrated, Devil's Illustrated, something else illustrated probably soon. I appreciate your time, man. Thanks for being flexible. We'll talk to you again later.
I appreciate it, Adam. Thank you.
You got it. Connor O'Neill. The Adam Gold Show. I am Adam Gold. V to the Victoria. I might just call you that forever.
That's okay. I'm okay with that.
All right. She's the producer of this program. First full football Monday. I know there are other things that happened, but I don't remember them because weekend was all football.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Like, a lot of stuff was canceled. It's a good thing there was no Premier League this weekend. I don't know what I would have. I would have done nothing at home. My wife would hate me. She already hates me. All right. Let's get right to it. It's a Hot Take Monday. We're going to do this every Monday. Probably have a little bit more time, but we're going to have two pockets of this. We got music for this. Very nice.
Yeah.
So if you want a hot take, especially after week one of the NFL, man, we heard tons of them. Like, do you remember last year when Aaron Rodgers was bad against the New Orleans Saints? That game was played in Jacksonville, right?
Uh-huh.
So bad. And CBS and their NFL Today crew did like a Saturday night conversation about how bad Aaron Rodgers was and how he checked out on his team. Somebody go please check the final record. Like, I know Rodgers, they lost that playoff game to the San Francisco 49ers. I know. But, man, in week one, it's just kind of hard to hot take. But I have hot takes, too. So, 919-860-5326. Let me just say this, and then we'll take some phone calls. Because I think we can get too crazy over what happened between the Panthers and the Browns. One, and this was my main takeaway, is that if you came out of that game angry at Matt Rhule, you went into that game angry at Matt Rhule. And I'm not saying there's no reason to be angry at Matt Rhule. While I'm not angry at him, I don't believe he's very good as an NFL head coach, or good at all. I just didn't see anything in that game that made me angry. I just didn't. Their offense is their offense. They could not block. They couldn't run block, couldn't pass block. Yeah, there was a lack of creativity, but when you can't run block or pass block, well, that's going to happen. And I actually thought if there was anything, he used his timeouts effectively. On defense, right before the end of the game. They were trash in the first half. Trash in the first half. And Baker was the biggest problem with that. Baker was terrible. He dropped snaps right in his hands. He overthrew everybody except the last safety on the interception. I mean, come on. Like, The Panthers aren't as good as the Browns, basically at any position. What did we expect? All right, 919-860-5326. Keith in Holly Springs, I'll let you go first. What's up?
I am just amazed that we had so many missed field goals yesterday and by the home team. And I watched the Pittsburgh-Cincinnati game, and it was a cluster of missed field goals. And I just, for a guy getting paid millions of dollars to kick a ball, I mean, all postseason, it comes down to an extra point. For all the game planning you do, you didn't have somebody prepared in case the center got hurt. You don't have just a long snapper or the center and a long snapper so you can kick an extra point to win a game.
That
was just baffling to me. I was glad Pittsburgh won, but I mean, I can't understand as a head coach how you can let that happen.
Well, that's why you need J.J. Jansen on your team. J.J. Jansen, the long snapper for all long snappers. I didn't even realize that it came down to Cincinnati missing an extra point that would have forced overtime because I was so supremely focused on what was going on at Bank of America Stadium. Look, there were five turnovers by the Bengals, and they still should have won the game. That tells us everything we need to know about the Steelers. It's unfortunate.
Right.
The Steelers' offense is atrocious. It's not going to get better. And I know they have injuries, but their offensive line just is not improving. So that has to change before the Steelers can be effective. And if they don't have T.J. Watt, they're in even deeper kimchi. So if you're a Steelers fan, which I don't know if you are or not, I couldn't tell you were critical of both. I just don't know what you do. But I thank you very much, Keith. I appreciate it.
Hey, just FYI.
Sure.
And they said on ESPN, it was the weekend with the most missed field goals of any game, any day.
Really? I like that. That's good. Yep. Maybe we'll kick less field goals if that happens. I'm all about it. It's like, I think in most cases, I appreciate your call. In most cases, field goals should be called. There's another minus four. In most cases, we should call them minus fours.
Yeah.
Kevin O'Connell for the Vikings yesterday. They went for it on fourth and two in field goal at times when you would take field goals. I appreciated that from that coaching staff. I've said this before. If you're going to be aggressive as a head coach, those are the times to do it. I mean, you can't. Two field goals do not equal a touchdown and an extra point.
Nope.
This just in. Don't kick so many field goals. My feeling has always been this. If it's let's say it's a 30-yard field goal, right? Anywhere from 30 to 39, those field goals are worth 3 points. If it's a 20-yard field goal, those field goals are worth 2 points. And if it's a field goal from 18 yards, like we saw yesterday, that field goal is worth 1 point.
Right.
Don't go for those field goals.
That's it.
The only time it should be worth three is if it's actually a game-winning field goal. We have to have staggered scoring in field goals. We have to go for more touchdowns. Appreciated the Vikings doing that. Garrett in Apex. Garrett, what's going on?
My hot take for the season is that the Cleveland Browns are going to be the division winners.
At 9-8?
I think they're going to go a little bit more. Personally, you have an offense that, to be completely honest, they ran Chubb and Kareem Hunt a lot, but they should have won. They should have done it a lot more.
100% of the time, I would have never thrown. Ever.
Yes. Even though Jacoby was 18 for 33, they couldn't stop the run. I don't know why you didn't just go after that. But you have a rookie kicker that was warming up from 65 and nailing them.
Yep.
You have a rookie kicker who's going to win you games, period. The Bengals have never been able to beat the Browns since Burrow has come. With the loss of Watt, now the defense for Pittsburgh is a lot worse. Chubb and Hunt have more room to run on that defense. It's now just about what they can do to the Ravens.
Yeah, I think the Ravens are the best team in that division, but At some point, the Browns are, you're not going to be able to just run it against other teams. Here's what, I appreciate the call, Garrett. For Panthers fans that were like aghast that the Browns could run the ball so effectively, you watched them last year, right? In the second half of the year, they could not stop the run. The middle of their defense is not good. It just isn't. It's Derek Brown hasn't been what they hoped he would be. I mean, Matt Ioannidis is supposed to be good. I mean, they just don't look great. Henry Anderson was supposed to be a run stuffer. Look, it's 1 week. We're not going to go crazy, but I expected the Browns to have success running the football. I really did. I'm not surprised. Again, I don't understand why they ever threw it. I would have run it every play until the Panthers proved they could stop it.
Yeah.
So,
which they could not.
They can't. They're not going to. Just not going to be able to stop. Well, I shouldn't say that because let's give it a couple of weeks, but what I saw, I had already seen.
Yes.
So I'm not surprised that the Browns were successful running the football. Look, if Cleveland can be, it's a 10-game suspension for Deshaun Watson for the serial creep.
Yeah.
If they can be, 6-4 when Watson gets back, then they can go 5-2 the rest of the way. Maybe 11-6 is good enough to win the division.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be that surprised. But I think the Ravens ultimately are the best team in that division as long as Lamar Jackson stays healthy. They were the best team in the division, arguably maybe the best team in the AFC when Jackson started to take on too many injuries and frankly, they just couldn't survive that. All right, I have a couple of more hot takes, 919-860-5326. I'm going to start with this. This is something I said a couple of days ago. The New England Patriots are not a playoff team. Even healthy, they are not a playoff team. That doesn't mean they won't make the playoffs when seven teams make the playoffs. And I'm not against it. That's fine. More playoffs, the better. When seven teams make the playoffs, you don't have to have an amazing record considering how much we can call it parity if we want. I prefer to use the term mediocrity because I think the Patriots are a mediocre team. But there's really not much that Bill Belichick can do with that offense. There really isn't. They don't have great wide receivers. They have decent tight ends, not great tight ends. If that offense had better tight ends, maybe. Okay. But I watched Mac Jones in the preseason in the game. I guess it was the game against the Panthers. And for the first quarter, Mac Jones was terrible. He did hit some passes later, but the Panthers didn't play anybody that game. It was all twos and threes. I just didn't see a lot from Mac Jones. I know, like, I'm not saying that Mac Jones isn't going to be good down the road. We don't know. But I think all you really needed to know was how sheltered he was last year from Bill Belichick. Remember, they played a game in which he threw it three times. Three times, the whole game.
That's it.
So, the Patriots to me are not a playoff team. The Aaron Rodgers thing, Minnesota's good. Minnesota put a lot of pressure on Aaron Rodgers. The Packers were missing both of their starting tackles. I remember a Super Bowl when the Kansas City Chiefs didn't have either of their starting tackles, and somehow they didn't have any time to throw. Shocking. Rodgers was under pressure all game long. If the takeaway is Aaron Rodgers really struggled, I'm like, well, yeah. But he also threw a lot of passes that should have been caught. Either a receiver went the wrong way or just flat dropped it. So I'm not too down on Aaron Rodgers, other than the whole he tried to pull a fast one on the media last year with the whole "I've been immunized" crap. Come on, it's fine. It's just we all fell for it. We all bought the I'm not. Whatever it is, we all
ayahuasca, all the things.
Seriously, He was pretty, I thought he was pretty good yesterday. Uh-huh. If he was bad, I was prepared
right.
for the, I think Aaron Rodgers is tripping again.
Uh-huh.
So, but he wasn't. He looked like he, I thought Aaron was pretty good considering all the circumstances. And if we're on Jimmy Garoppolo watch now, right? The Dak Prescott, he's hurt. Now the Cowboys need to trade for Jimmy Garoppolo. Who else needs to trade for the Steelers need to trade for Jimmy Garoppolo. Everybody needs to trade for Jimmy G. Look, I think he's going to stay with the 49ers until. Now, maybe Dallas is the until. Because Dallas, without Dak Prescott, is in big-time trouble.
Yeah.
Big time. Like, that team will not make the playoffs if Dak Prescott can't play. And I would argue, even if Dak Prescott can play, they still might not make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I just, they were pretty bad early in that game anyway. But I know people are down on Trey Lance because he can't play quarterback in a monsoon. I mean, do you see them slipping and sliding all over Soldier Field?
Everywhere.
They were squeegeeing. I thought I was watching tennis. They were squeegeeing the field.
Give it a couple more months. It'll be snow.
I am. Exactly. Maybe he'd be better in snow.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the, I don't know what to make of Trey Lance and the first game. I know Justin Fields was better than Trey Lance. Okay. That's fair. I just don't know what to make of all of it. But, I didn't do my Notre Dame hot take. This is my Notre Dame hot take. Okay. Notre Dame, if you were in the ACC, your season would not be over. I've been saying this for a decade and a half. Forget about money. Forget about all those other things. Notre Dame needs a conference competitively. That's it. It's not only about the playoff. Because I know it seems as though Notre Dame, they're always going to be in the, no, they're not. They are not going to always be in the playoff. They are not Alabama. They are not Ohio State. They have challenges that are going to make it difficult for them to year in and year out be at the top, which means that you're still dependent upon your record and who you beat. And if you're Notre Dame and you're 0-2 after losing to Ohio State and Marshall, there's still an ACC schedule that you can negotiate. I'm just saying. If you're the Irish, this is the reason to be in a conference.
Yes.
And that is my final hot take, which, again, ain't that hot. It doesn't have to be a hot take.
Right?
There's just so much football, we can't talk about all of it.
Yeah.
All right, we have reached the midway point.
This episode is brought to you by DirecTV Stream. DirecTV Stream is your home for football this season because it's the best way to catch the games you won't want to miss. And with the DirecTV Stream Sports Hub, you can follow your favorite teams and track scores all in one place. That means more ways to follow the biggest hits, drives, and wins this season. So many, you may need your own touchdown dance. So get your sports together and get your TV together at DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package.
And now, your halftime entertainment.
All right, well, you may remember, I'm a huge UFC MMA fan.
Right, they canceled, was it a UFC or an MMA fight, or did they cancel a boxing match because the queen passed away?
A boxing match. Yes, yeah.
They would never cancel MMA.
No, the octagon was still open. Sorry, queen. No, she was, it was amazing. So, UFC 279, the biggest story was Nate Diaz. There's a lot of drama with him because he's been in this for a long, long time.
Nate Diaz, is he the Tom Brady?
Oh, no, I wouldn't say so. He's definitely a GOAT, but I wouldn't call him a Tom Brady for sure.
Well, just being in it a long time.
Yes, yeah, so, okay. He's got like an iron jaw. So he had one more fight in his contract. He was ready to be done getting punched in the face.
Yeah, well.
Now he fights, which I can understand.
Absolutely.
So this past Saturday, he was supposed to be fighting Khamzat Chimaev, who this guy came in way overweight, and I'm pretty sure, I don't know, it just seems a little sketch. I feel like something was going on there because Dana White is kind of going into the wrestling world now, I think. So, but anyway, they rematched it with Tony Ferguson, who also is a GOAT. So this was much more equal, I think, than it was originally planned.
Right.
Again, might be for the drama.
So when is this fight?
So it was this past Saturday.
So they did fight.
And the big shocker is the fact that Nate Diaz actually won. Like, he has not been in it for years.
Oh, really?
And he actually came out and won.
Oh, yeah, that's
Tony
shady.
Oh, yeah.
That's shady AF right
I know,
there.
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. So you don't even have to know MMA to think, that's a little weird. So, yeah, in the fourth round, he submitted Ferguson with a guillotine. So it was good time. But
guillotine?
Yes, it's a type of chokehold. But okay,
because that seems like if that comes out, yeah, you definitely win the match.
Right? Oh yeah, it's painful. Right. So anyway, now he's done. At least maybe. Who knows? Maybe there'll be some more drama coming down the road. We'll see.
Okay.
So are you a binge watcher?
Well, me.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on the show. I have binge-watched certain things. I've got a few episodes of Welcome to Wrexham, that FX series with Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney.
Okay.
They bought a 5th Division Welsh football club.
Yeah.
One of the oldest clubs in the UK. And so I'm completely hooked on that. And I guess Wednesday we will have 3 episodes to watch.
Oh, nice.
At some point. And they're not long, like 38 minutes each. So
oh, yeah. That's
we'll
nothing.
We'll fly through.
That's nothing.
I'm excited about it.
See, the weather right now where we're at looks a little cloudy, which is a perfect day for binge watching. But Netflix is trying to ruin it for us.
What happened?
Now, with Stranger Things 5, they're hinting at the idea of not releasing all the episodes at once and just doing like a weekly thing. You know, old school, back when you had to wait
right?
7 days
really?
In between it.
Good for them.
I know. I know. They're trying to, like, take things back. That way people can't spoil the episodes in case you didn't see it.
Or you could just binge watch everything and then cancel your subscription.
Exactly.
Right.
And
I got nothing else to watch.
They're becoming smart to this. So, yeah, that may be coming up. Apparently, they're not going to do that with Stranger Things 5. So, if you are a binger of that, you don't have to worry so much. But be prepared, because that may be the case.
I have not seen that. My son on Netflix, I think it was on Netflix, he just binged watched the entire most recent season of Cobra Kai.
Okay.
All right. Do you watch this?
I have seen the first 2 seasons and then I tapped out.
I have no idea what season this was. It might have been the single dumbest thing I've ever seen.
It is.
I could not believe
really
how dumb it was.
I can't. I just can't do it anymore.
I sat there and I'm like, what is going on here? He was also watching, he was binge watching the show called Manifest.
Okay, I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, apparently there was a plane where this plane went through a storm and the plane disappeared.
Oh boy.
Yeah, and then all the people suddenly appeared, but it was like years later.
No, thank you.
Yeah, it's, again,
too confusing.
I just can't. No. They have these callings. They're not visions. They're callings.
Oh.
Yeah, it's just crazy.
Don't mix them.
Crazy
mix them
dumb.
Up.
Crazy dumb. Cobra Kai, though, is the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
It really is. Yeah. I started watching it because the other half wanted to, and I'm like, okay, I'll try it. And then, no. I fall asleep immediately. I'm like, I'm getting dumber.
No, I see, when it's that dumb, you're just riveted to see how it can get dumber.
I would rather just, like, clean the house than do this. So,
We completely cleaned out the refrigerator yesterday.
There you go.
Oh, taking shelves out. Yeah, did the
whole
thing.
Feels good. Feels good.
Oh, my God.
Well, speaking of that, do you think people are silently judging you?
Me?
Yes.
All the time. Not silently.
So,
all the time. Outwardly.
So apparently this is a more common thing than you would think. It could be something as simple as whether you're a pen clicker, whether your child is kind of running amok around the store and you don't like stop it. Exactly. See, that doesn't faze me. I'm good.
Yeah.
I have a dog, a new puppy like you that just loves to get in my face. So now I feel like I'm immune to this stuff. Or people who come into a business right before it closes or it's about to close.
Right.
That's terrible. And then here's
why?
The kicker.
Why is that
for
terrible?
Me.
You're open until this.
Well, so if people actually left when the store closed, because as someone who worked in retail in college, it's you hate it. You absolutely hate when someone comes in.
Well, sure, because you're in college. You just want to get out and go do what you want to do.
Yeah. You literally tell people, okay, you got 15 minutes. Right. Let's go.
First of all, I have a problem with certain store hours.
Yes.
Especially on weekends.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, this is a time where people need to buy stuff.
Right.
If I own a store, I am open.
Right.
I want you to buy stuff. So the whole thing, when you walk into the store and it's like we're open until 6 and it's 5:54.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You will give me as much time as I need to spend as much money as I can spend in your store.
Right. You know what ruins it,
unless you don't want my business.
Here's the thing that ruins it. If everyone who did that actually spent money, that'd be one thing. But it's those that come in and stay for like 30 minutes and then never buy anything that you're like, okay.
Yeah, it's kind of... I just think that it's probably better business to allow them.
Yes. Well, the thing that gets me more than anything is people who don't put their cart away. At, like, the grocery store?
Oh, the cart. Okay, that's different.
In the parking lot, like, that's one of those silent judgy things.
Oh, look.
Part of the list, for sure.
Complete judgment.
Please know, if you're leaving your cart in the middle of a parking space and you're right beside the, like, rack.
There's cart returns. Just use it.
Exactly. That's why they're there.
People.
And speaking lastly.
That's why people suck.
It is. Last one up. Kirk Cousins was really being judged, apparently, because of his press conference. Did you see what he was wearing?
No, I saw Dak Prescott wearing a white button-down shirt with the collar button, but no tie. What was Kirk Cousins wearing?
Poor Kirk Cousins. So he gets a win. A great win with the rivals. He has this press conference, but he looks like Archie from All in the Family with his shirt. It's like a plaid, almost brownish looking shirt. So people are calling him the dad look.
Good for him.
I mean, you know what? Live in your own skin, Kurt. Live in your own skin.
Do we understand that this is Kirk Cousins?
Right.
Kirk Cousins is just being on brand.
I know.
I don't understand.
And plus, why do we care about fashion when do you care about the fashion?
No, I don't care about it as much as I enjoy looking at it.
Okay.
Like, I loved Cam Newton going full foxtail or, I mean, just some of the stupid stuff he wore.
Scarves and all that stuff.
I loved it.
Yes.
Just because it made people angry for no reason.
Right.
No. The least important thing is what these guys wear after games.
Exactly.
So they wanted Cam to have different outfits for whether he won or lost. So after a loss, you can't wear goofy stuff. can't believe you wore that after a loss.
Wait
a second. You want him to bring a winning outfit and a losing outfit.
Exactly.
Is that your position on this?
Be prepared on both sides.
Gosh. Well,
so dumb.
So wrapped up in dumb.
So dumb. Yeah, I know. So
good for Kirk Cousins.
Let Cousins live. He's fine.
I mean, did he wear his pants pleated? That would be a bigger issue for me.
I know. I don't know because all you could see was just the shirt up. So that's a good question.
Be a much bigger issue for me if his... If he's wearing pleated pants, pleated pants, whatever I just said. Pleated plants
with
is actually what I said, which is terrible.
Or pleather pants.
I'd like to see Kirk Cousins in pleather. That would be fantastic. All right, when we come back, placing our bets. I had a fairly good weekend. You didn't lose.
Yeah.
Right?
I did. I totally did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay. We can recap how you did with Giulio's card.
This is the Adam Gold Show.